We're back in our series of teachings again on positioning yourself to receive healing. We're going to begin to look in tonight. We had finished up last week talking about God as being a giver, hugely important. For us, we had looked at God's willingness to heal. You have to know it's God's will to heal. Also, that God is a giver. That's His nature. That's the nature of love. And we're going to look into the areas now to begin is how God gives healing to people, what the Scripture tells us, what people look for. Sometimes people are looking for things that really aren't scriptural. It is one thing if you know, people should know what to expect and what to do. So if we follow the Scriptures, we'll eventually end up the major part, one of the things that we find from a scriptural standpoint. We find that mostly the times that we look at Jesus laying hands on people to heal. Also, we do see laying on of hands, in the book of Acts and things also. And we're told in scriptures to lay hands on the sick. But also, healing is ministered in other ways too. This is one of the things that don't get so canned on the areas of healing. Even though God does certain things certain ways most of the time, you need to listen to the Spirit, what He's telling you to do, especially, as an individual, what God may tell you to do specifically, or if you're ministering to somebody else. I've learned over times, that people get set in their ways and God's trying to get them to do something else. I've talked to sometimes of people over the years that God was talking to them in a certain way. God wanted them to do a certain thing. And they wanted it their way. And they never got what they wanted. And you don't want to head that direction. When I started off as a Christian, and especially in the areas of healing, healing was a thing that always really has been a dominance concerning with me in ministry, because it's the thing that Lord led me into when I first got born again. Probably my first 3 years of Christianity was a major subject that God led me into to study. There was one thing that the Lord now did to me. Now, he doesn't say He's going to do that to anybody else, but you have to be led by the Spirit. He would never allow me to have somebody lay hands on me. He always made me use my faith. But there's one thing, as I learned over time, was the fact is, there's things that, and two, that everybody needs to learn to do. Don't get stuck in one way of doing things. Because the Lord told me that He dealt with me in many ways that He did so I could teach other people. You can't teach people what you don't know how to do. Now, today we have many teachers of the Bible who have no experience. And all they teach is from the book. But they have no experience in the book. They talk about healing, but they don't know how to do it. They have not experienced things, but they talk about them to people. The anointing works in our lives really has a lot to do with our knowledge of the Word, which is good to learn the Word, but also of our experience in the Word. And I found this out. The better you can listen to the Holy Spirit, the more anointing there'll be in your life. The more anointing you'll have on you. And this is important if we're going to minister healing to people or even ourselves with healing. That's important. And especially listening to the Holy Spirit, what He says to do, you can get. Now, I'll just use an illustration of I was in Full Gospel Businessmen for a number of years, years ago when they had those. And anyhow, I was a president of a chapter and things, and I found it in there, ministering there, because you had a lot of opportunity to minister to people and things like that. But I learned, God taught me a lot of different things on ways to yield to things, because how He would do stuff. God doesn't do things lots of times like maybe we would like to think that would be done. And if we determine to do it our way, nothing will take place. Doesn't matter how much God wants to do something, He doesn't override just because we, do something a certain way. But anyhow, I was in we were at a Full Gospel meeting, and we had a speaker, and the speaker had spoken and stuff, and after that we were going to minister to some people. And I was, all of a sudden, I got this really severe pain in my chest. It was just like, man, it didn't like feel like a heart attack or something. It almost felt like, my chest or something got hit. I mean, nailed really hard. I mean, it just was painful. And at first I'm thinking, it went through my mind what was going on, and I realized somebody was in severe pain that was in the audience. Somebody was really having a lot of pain. So They were ministering to some other people, some of the guys from the chapter. They were ministering to other people, and so I just got up and I just said, "Is there somebody here that has really severe pain in your chest?" And this guy he was way in the back, and he raised his hand. It was a Mennonite guy, who's a farmer. And he come walking up through. I told him to come up, and he come up through. Now, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, God wants me to lay hands on him. This guy to be healed. Well, you know, he comes up, and he says, what happened? He's a farmer milking his cattle, and a cow kicked him in the chest. I don't know if you know what it's like. I worked around cows. Cows kick you. You know it. Yeah, you don't have to think about it. You know what's going on. And anyhow, so I'm thinking, this guy's really in pain. So I go to lay hands on him, and I lay my hand on him, and I start to pray for healing, and the anointing just lifts off him. And I thought, what on earth? So I just stopped. Inside of me, I kept getting a sense, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I thought, this with baptism of the Holy Ghost, this guy's, and he's healing. So I lay my hand back on him again, because the anointing come back on me, lay my hand on him, the anointing lifts. And I get this again, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm slow at things. And I went, the anointing came back on me again. I put my hand on him, and the anointing left. And it came to me back to baptism of the Holy Spirit. Finally, I just looked at him and said, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? He said, yeah. I said, well, be filled with the Spirit. Laid my hands on him, and he got healed and filled with the Holy Ghost all at once. So that's the way God decided to work. See, the anointing would not have healed him if I wouldn't have yielded that. See, that's why many times people get in their minds, and this is why. That's why when the Lord told me when I first got saved, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. You got to learn to listen, not just jump into things because they're done certain ways most of the time. Most people want things done a certain way most of the time. That's the way they want it. God is always trying to move us into a place where we have to use our faith. Why? Because with we are teaching. Without faith, you cannot please Him. You need to learn that. I don't care how much knowledge you have and what you got. God is not impressed how much you know. God is not impressed. God is impressed if you will follow what He wants and do whatever He shows you and walk in faith. You know, sometimes you, as I kept saying, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know, it's what God wanted to do it that way. Say, well, why? I don't know. You pray and ask Him. I just know when I obeyed it, it worked. And the guy was really glad because he got healed and fell with the Holy Ghost too. So he was happy and it worked real well. But you know, you just think, you know, you think you're obeying God, but I wasn't obeying what He wanted me to do. In fact, I hadn't even checked what He wanted to do. I'm just, you know, we're just going to do this. Well, that wasn't what he had in mind. So, as we look at these things, we're going to look at some things that Scripture say concerning some things about healing. And we will look specifically over the years of laying on of hands. Lots of times God operates that way. You will find there are people who operate sometimes, ministers, who have special healing anointings. And they're called to a certain thing, and they'll have a special healing. And you'll see that the average person, or even average minister, doesn't minister in that way. They minister in different. Let me just, you know, say this. We get into, like, sort of putting everybody in a can place. We talk about, you know, gifts of healings and things like that. And gifts of healings, there's a difference between people having special of anointings and gifts of healings. It's a totally different thing. There's some people operate under special healing anointings that God gives them to minister. And you'll find, like, the average person doesn't have that. But we'll find the average person is used in the areas of laying hands on people, usually is praying for someone, laying hands on. God can direct somebody differently. I've seen already, we're just ordinary people, you know, sharing the word with people over time, and the person just believed God was healed. They never really did anything. They just sharing the word with the person. And so you can have in those manners, is you can be as successful ministering to healing really to people, especially individually, as any minister could by just ministering the word. It's like Catherine Kuhlman had a special healing anointing. I don't know if you guys remember Catherine Kuhlman at all. She had a special healing anointing. Well, she was sick. Yeah, she had heart problems, and she is very interesting. And understand this: God wants people to act in faith. Catherine Kuhlman even admitted she came down with heart problems, and she couldn't believe God for her own healing and died. Yet she had a terrific ministry of healing. But she had never learned. She had never set anybody's ministry and learned to believe. Well, while she was having problems, they asked Kenneth Hagin to take one of her meetings, and Kenneth Hagin said, well, you know, Lord, he said, I teach. And he said, you know, she comes out and how she ministers. He said, I and Catherine Coleman. These people came expecting Catherine Coleman. And he said, you go out and do what you're anointed to do. He said, you go out and teach the word on healing. And in the meeting that he was in, he was Catherine Coleman. He, just while teaching the word, seven different people got up on wheelchairs and walked away. Never touched him, nobody, just teaching the word on healing, and people believed and got out of their chairs. So operate in the way, you know, the word's very effective. Most people don't. Most people, this one, look at Mark, the 16th chapter, said he went out and he preached everywhere, and the word followed, the signs followed the word. And you'll never find a minister that's ever very successful that just tries to operate in gifts of the Spirit. The word, you got to get the word out there. You got to it's faith in the word is what you people aren't going to get healed all the time through gifts. They're not going to get healed in that manner, and you're not going to have people all the time getting in that way. If you don't minister the word, a lot of people are never going to get healed, and especially people who have been healed by gifts of the Spirit. If they're not taught the word, they don't know how to get healed again. And lots of times they can't, God won't let them just keep going back to somebody and operating on other people's faiths or special gifts. He won't allow them to do it. That's why we teach the word. And teaching of the word, you can operate in faith at any time. You don't have to go to a special meeting. You don't have to go to a special person. You can learn to believe God for yourself. And that's hugely beneficial. That's why the Lord dealt with me the way that he did, because he wanted me to be able to teach people how to get it themselves. You have to have that. The highest level of faith is not getting healed by some gift of the Spirit or something like that. That's not the highest level of faith is believing what the Word says yourself and believing it. That's the highest level of faith. And if you understand that, that's where you're walking. You're the highest level of faith. It's not hard to do. It can't be. If God could teach me to do it, it can't be hard to do. I'm serious. You know, God started me off, taught me in my first 3 years. In fact, from the time I got, from about 6 months I was born again, from that point on, if anything never tried to come on me, I could stop it. And I was only 6 months old in the Lord. Well, it wasn't nothing special. It's, I went to the Word. And the Word, I was convinced of what the Word, and started operating in the Word. And the word works. And I listened to Kenneth Hagin and his teachings on the things. And he would teach it. And I used to think, well, if he was at 15 years old, actually he was about 16 when he got off the deathbed, he turned about 17. But he started out 15, he was dying. And I thought, if a 15-year-old kid can believe God and end up getting off a deathbed, he had no teachers. He knew nobody who believed in divine healing. So he had no teachers. He did it reading the Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit teacher, and I just decided this. If a 15-year-old boy can believe God, get off a deathbed, it is a sin for me to not be able to believe the Word of God and deal with it. See, I put pressure on me. I never allowed the things, well, we'll just get by. Because I always thought, I let a 15-year-old kid outdo me. Dear God. And you have to, you decide that. I mean, I just decided that. In fact, I even told God, I said, I ain't let no 15-year-old kid out to me. If he can believe you and end up coming off a bed of death that the doctors said it was no hope for him whatsoever. He had a deformed heart and stuff. The doctors even told him, said, they couldn't do heart transplants in those days, but they said, if we could give you a new heart, you'd still die because of all the other things that are wrong with you. They said, there's nothing we can do for you. And he could believe through that. You know, I ain't never had nothing that bad. Well, it's one thing. I didn't have things that bad is number one because of listening to the Word and following the Word. You can keep a lot of bad stuff off of you. And so we're going to look at some of these things about how Jesus ministered, some ways that like we see in the church. One of the things we can go to look at is over in James, the 5th chapter, very familiar. We have used the scriptures before, but we want to use them because they're good. You know, there's certain scriptures, these scriptures we're using here, become very familiar. You know, Some people will try, you know, it's, I never have ever stood from the time that I was born again and I would stand for healing that I would try to do, stand on 15 different scriptures. I've always been, there's, you know, for me, you know, when I look at Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24, I mean, mostly that's where I've always stood in my entire Christian, you know, and I was always the fact that, well, Jesus already healed me, you know. Himself already, he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I was healed, so therefore I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. See, this is just the way I, and this, I talk this, I say this. I don't sit and think these, we don't think faith, we talk faith. And saying those things, you know. One of the things that it will really help you immensely, and we'll talk a little bit about tonight, is using your voice all the time concerning sickness and disease. Is talk, learn to have a mouth about health and not, you know, over this past year, I really hated to listen to a lot of people talk because talk of this COVID all the time. And I couldn't even stand to listen to people talk because I'm going to tell you, I ain't getting COVID. Why do we sit around and talk about sickness and disease? It's bad enough without talking about it all the time. And see, people just, they don't know when to shut up. And they don't stop and they don't realize what they do to themselves. You can't talk those kinds of things without bringing, really, some depression on yourself and other things. It's one of the things is understand this. Your voice will have more to do your mental state than anybody. You know, if people talk bad about you, and you run around and say to them, you know, say that, oh, they're talking bad about me, I'm depressed. Well, it's because you're agreeing with them. You're agreeing by the way you're acting. Don't do that. You just have, whether other people, you know, whatever they say or do, learn to talk about yourself in a better way than they do. It don't matter if my parents called me a dummy. That doesn't matter. I don't have to join the voice. So you learn not to join the voice. You just don't, you know, well, you're going to end up in jail. Well, no, I'm not. I end up in jail. You know, see, you got to learn to do it. I mean, studies, university studies, even the government had studies conducted about the way people talk. And they found this out that people in their discussions, well, number one is depression and those kind of things come from what people, the things that they talk, they say. And people, you know, who are usually on the downside of things, the doctors even found that medications that normally work very well in people in general don't work well in them. People who talk negative. It's number one, they found that people who are more on the negative side, that their immune systems do not work as well. And see, you have to understand, your body reacts to your mouth. Life and death are in your neighbor's mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's your tongue. So learn to speak life. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. I remember when I first got born again, he said this one time. He said, I don't talk about sickness and disease. I don't believe in it. He knows it exists, but he don't believe in it for himself. He didn't believe in it for him. He didn't believe in having it. See, most people believe in having it, and then we want to try to get rid of it, you know, is lose that mentality. Your health, your body responds to the things that you talk and how you view things. Do you talk life? Do you see yourself life? Do you see yourself succeeding? You know, it's like a lot of people are talking negative right now because of the things we have going on in our nation. They don't like the government. So what they do is they're talking negative. They keep talking negative how things are going to turn out. People are planning on going under. Christians are planning and going under. They're planning things going bad for them. And you know what? They'll sit and blame Biden and the Democrats. They ain't doing it. They're stupid idiots are doing it themselves. They're sitting around top. Oh, if they do this or they do that, it's going to go under. Well, we're going to go under if we do this. We're going to go under if we do that. And then they'll say we ought to pray. Why? What, to the devil? What are you going to pray to? You run around. You can pray to God all you want, but you're running your mouth in the opposite direction. I'm going to tell you what, don't waste your breath praying. Don't waste your breath praying. That's a waste of time. You know? Just think about it. God can hear the complaints of all the earth. He don't need to hear it from his kids. He ought to get a good welcome from his kid. Who would parent would ever want your kids coming home and every time they walk in the door, it's a grumping and a carrying on? I would think God gets about fed up with it at times. Oh, they're back home again. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to have somebody come in the door, happy, smiling, and say, praise God, hallelujah. Dad, it's hell out here, but it's good in here, glory to God. <You know? laughs> So, get yourself over in that. In James, the fifth chapter, dealing in areas with healing there, we're going to just look at familiar scripture with James 5, starting in verse 14. It says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him in the name of the Lord. So he's telling here in dealing with this, it's one of the things is get this, is acting on faith. And this is the thing I always encourage people to, but you find this very little in the body of Christ. But yet the Bible tells us. Here he said, is any among you sick? Let the ministers go find out where they're at and go visit them and go. That's what most people do. Most people never act in faith. See, they want something, but they're not. He said, well, you do. Just think about this. Why, like, if you're sick or you call a doctor or some sort, you call it, why do you call a doctor? Why do you do it? You believe you can get something maybe to help you. You know, most Christians do. That's the last thing on their list. They will definitely go there. They don't wait for the doctor to call them. They don't wait for, oh, no, no. They will do every time. I mean, you wait for the doctor. Now, if you waited at home for the doctor and the doctor never came, would you say, why didn't you visit me when I was? Oh, ministers hear that? People never let you know what's going on, what's happening? Well, you didn't ask me what was wrong. Yeah. See, I don't stay up at nights praying to find out what's wrong with you. I know what's wrong with you. But we don't want to discuss that right now. They don't do now. I learned if you whatever you say you believe, you act like that's true. See, if you believed that the elders could pray and you'd get healed, you'd go do that. You would. I'm serious. That's why you call the doctor, because you believe that he could give you some help. That's why you do it. That's your faith in action. That's your faith. That's what you're believing. So is the fact that we wouldn't believe, oh, they somebody prayed for me, that it would help. See, you got to act in line. That's a hard thing to get people to do. I don't know why, but all my Christian walking, I've asked other ministers about it, and I've, you know, trying to get people to initiate faith, generally they won't. They want somebody else to do something to try to initiate them into faith. And you have to yourself. You know, it's first and top on the is top on the list is especially and you want to, because you want to learn to come to God even for yourself. But here it says something that we can do. It tells us what we can do. It says, you call the elder church, let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. It says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, that word there, saved. Now, many of the translations say heal the sick, which is actually talking about. This is the Greek word sozo. And when we're dealing with the area of healing, when Jesus would minister to people and they were healed, it was translated healed or made whole or saved. And this is what we're talking about, healing. I don't know why they persisted in putting the word save, because it's not talking about save like most people think. It's talking about being healed. It says, and the Lord will raise him up. But what does it say? Does it say the oil was going to do that? No, it says the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? The prayer of faith is Mark 11:24. That's the prayer of faith. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. So the elders should be praying that prayer. Really what you're getting in this action here is you should be coming for an agreement. See, you believe the prayer of faith, that when you're prayed for, you're going to believe you receive, and they pray that prayer, and you're agreeing on that prayer. That you receive it when they pray for you. The oil is just a place of contact. Sometimes people just need a place of contact. That just seems to many people, they need something of contact sometimes where they release their faith. And if you have that and you need that, well, then do that. you know, whatever it is, that you can release your faith. Because at that point, at the time that you prayed, if it's a prayer of faith, then you should be believing you received your healing. You're not trying to get it. You should be believing you receive it. Because Jesus said, if you believe you receive it, you will have it. See, many people, when that point happens, they're not believing they're receiving it. They're seeing if they're going to feel better or get well or, you know, something. They're going to believe when they feel something or whatever else, but that's not what it's saying. The majority of time, people do not get an instantaneous healing. People will recover. See, we're told and we pray, lay hands on the sick. Jesus said they will recover. They're going to recover. And most of the time, you're going to find out people are going to recover. Most people, it is going to be instantaneously. You can at times. I've seen already where people were ministered to, and nothing seemed to happen at the time. And after a couple of days, all of a sudden, one day, just like a snap of a finger, every symptom left their body. But that's the way it may operate. It can operate that way. Some people will just start to begin to amend. They'll just start to, you know, things will go quicker than normal, but they'll start to amend. And so we need to talk about these things of what people expect. Because many times we're not telling people what to expect, and most Christians don't know what to expect. Most spirit-filled people haven't got a clue what to expect. I don't know why. I always just read the Bible and I just thought. Now, I know this. There are things that you can do to enhance how quick you get well. And what it is this. It's the level of your faith. The level of your faith will determine how quickly you can recover. The level of your faith. That's just the way. It's the level of your faith. This is why we continually grow in faith. Don't ever minimize, say, well, man, you know, I tell you, I was here, but it just didn't go like I wanted it to. Well, did you get God in it working? Good. You know, don't ever talk down on your faith. Your faith is working, I don't care, just a little bit. If your faith is working some, you could always make it grow. But if you turn around and criticize your faith, just because it didn't work, when I first started off, it's like I've told you guys, I first started off, I'll tell you, a headache was a battle, man. I'll tell you what, it, you know, just working at that thing, learning. But I'll tell you, over time, man, I could just take a hold of it, bang, just like that. But you build your faith over time. You learn over time. You learn to develop your faith. That's why you don't want to ever get to a place where you think you've arrived as a Christian. Because if you've gotten there, you are deceived. Because your faith, you want your faith to continually grow. And number one, the more your faith grows, the more you can be beneficial to others. You know, when other people come and they want somebody to agree with them, if you know how to take a hold of things better, I've learned over time I can get a hold of things for people I've run into where people, they had some faith in an area, but not where they really they needed. And they wanted prayer, and I've told them, I said, well, you know, if you go to neutral, don't just get in done, but just let this thing alone, and I'll pray, and we'll get this thing done. And in my faith, I was able to take a hold of it for them. They weren't able to really get a hold of it. You want to come to a place you can do that for people. You know, I've helped people along with that sometimes. The first time I ever did it was for a guy who couldn't ride in a car at all. You take him a block down the street and he'd get motion sickness. I mean, he couldn't ride in a car. He was an older, he was, I guess, probably that time, he's late 20s, but he couldn't like drive, he'd get in a car to drive and he would just, or he's driving, whatever. He couldn't do it. So he got saved. He had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were having meetings down in Philadelphia. Ken Copeland had some meetings down in Philadelphia, and some people were going down. And so they did this thing and got a bus thing. And they traveled down every day to Philly to the meetings and back. And so he wanted to go. And so I found out he wanted to go. I said to him, look, I want you to do this for me. If you go with me to the meetings, I said, you go with me. I said, in a bus, you sit with me. I said, when we're down there, you're with me. You want to wander off to other stuff? You stay with me. And I said, I'll guarantee you, you will not get sick the whole time. I said, you'll ride the bus down and back. You're going to be fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. I said, you'll do it day after day. I said, you're going to be fine. So he agreed to it. We went down for the whole week going back and forth. Never once did he ever feel bad or anything. He was just totally marveled at. He got back home, and after a little while back home, it sort of like worked for him a little bit on the way, you know, back home for a little bit, but he started coming back again. But he realized what he had to do, and he started building his faith, and he got around to where he could drive and he could do and he could go, and it didn't bother him anymore. But I just using my faith to help. So you can learn to use your faith to help people. Now, number one, if you don't have enough faith to help you, you need to understand. This is what people keep trying to do. Get things for people they can't get for themselves. Learn how to get it, and then you'll learn how to get a hold of it for them and help them. Just like with him. God used that thing to help him to develop his faith to the place where he could take a hold of it. God used that. And I was only a Christian a few years when I did that. I learned it, developing my faith and that stuff. And I'd find places that you can learn along that I know that I could help somebody. You know, some people you can't. Some people get just too much unbelief stuff. You can't. You got to get them to a place. If they can't get into neutral, as long as they're in gear with their unbelief, that unbelief's going to rule. Is getting them to kick it out, getting them to just trust your faith. Just say, come on, God will take care of you, don't worry. I believe God, God will do it. He did it, and it worked. So I learned that over time. With people, you can do those things. Now, I couldn't have done things to carry him all the time in that. You know, you can't do that. But you have to follow in your own heart. But the prayer of faith heals the sick. It said the Lord raised him up. He says if they committed any sins, it would be forgiven them. And but we're dealing here with a way of ministering healing to people. It says the praying the prayer of faith. You anoint them with, other than anointing them with oil. I don't know how they did. We anoint with oil, like use our fingers on it, but they had a tendency just to pour oil on somebody. And oil was just a representation of the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand, one of the things that we're doing as Christians, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have him in there. This is one of the things is dealing with touching people is because you have the Holy Spirit in you. We need to understand that God deals with the laying on of hands is dealing with the areas of a transferring of power. It's about transferring of power. See, most people just think it's, and I've heard ministers say it all the time, as it's more a symbolic thing. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Holy Ghost is in us. And the touching of people is just like Jesus' anointing and the woman with the issue of blood touched him. That power, it's a transfer of power. And we need to understand how God works in these things. It's just like with this, it tells us what to do. So people can actually follow this, and this would also, this would work, but it's like listening to the Holy Spirit. Now in ministering people, in the book of Acts, there is here, in the book of Acts, in the third chapter, a familiar where a man was healed at the gate, beautiful. In the book of Acts, to start off after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit fell on the believers and things. And we have here in Acts the third chapter, and starting with the first verses, we're going to go to. We see something here in his ministry, and we want to look at it so you can see what it's saying. This can be very helpful. It's another thing I'm learning to be led by the Spirit. He says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. It says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Now this guy here, we know this later on, it tells us later on in the chapter, which we're not going to be reading, but this guy's over 40 years old. So he's over 40 years old from the time of his birth. He's lame. Now, what he's looking for and he's asking for is alms. It says, so he asked Peter, and they're going to the temple, he's asking for alms, and he says in verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, what do you think the something he was expecting to get? It wasn't healing. He was looking for money. Because that's what he was asking for. He's asking for money. So this guy's not looking for healing. That's not what he's looking for. So it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, rise up and walk. It says, and he stood, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones, received strength. It says, so he leaped up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the gate beautiful of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, we need to understand something here is going on. This man is not being healed by his faith. He is not being healed by his faith. He wasn't looking for healing. Now, it's quite interesting concerning this man. This man has been in this temple, at this temple, every time Jesus was there. And Jesus healed the sick in that temple, and he never got healed. We don't know that he ever even looked for it. It's always interesting. Jesus was in this temple more than one time and had healing services in his temple. One time he went in, he turned over the tables and all that stuff, and he said the people came to him, and he healed all their sick. Healing's going in the temple and never went. Yet he's there. He's there. So we know this. He's not operating in faith whatsoever. And what's taking place here, we can see some things about what's going on. One of the things we have in you, read verse 16, is Peter says this about the incident, about how this man was healed. And he says, and in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, who had faith in that name? Peter and John did. They had faith in the name. Now, you need to understand this about the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us authority to heal. People say, well, people could be healed under the authority of that name. But we need to understand that that name has the power to heal. It does not just have the authority to heal. It has the power to heal. The name itself. They said he was healed. That name did it. Peter said the name healed him. The name did it. It would be well for Christians to sit down and do a little studying on the name of Jesus. Do a little time of studying about what is behind that name. And, you know, does that name save? See, the name will bring salvation. Oh, yeah, you can be saved in that name. I'll tell you what, just as that name saved me, that name will heal me. Amen. Just in the same manner. It's absolutely zero difference. Zero difference. See, we teach that that name will save you, but the church doesn't teach that that name will heal you. They don't teach that. So people have no faith for it. They have no faith for the name to heal you. Whatever the church teaches, that's what people generally believe. And that's why you got to learn to study for yourself, because they ain't going to teach you everything you need. I mean, I ain't got the time to teach people everything. I ain't got time for it. Can't do it. Ain't enough hours in a day, enough days in a week. You got to do, got to go after stuff yourself. I mean, you just have to. I spend a lot of time today. I get over and I get into studying all kinds of stuff. I get into things. I get a revelation on something, and I can drift off for a long time just going into things and looking at stuff. And I could just, God gives me a revelation on something. I just want to see what it's about. Man, I want to know that thing. Just go after. And there's just so much to learn and know. And so you have to learn to go after it yourself. And it's just so good. It's so good to learn. Hallelujah. But walking is, this man was healed by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, what took place here really is really a manifestation of the Spirit, because Peter and John did not have the authority in just running around and heal everybody they wanted to that wasn't looking for healing. You don't see that. You don't see that even in Jesus' ministry. In Jesus' ministry, you see the activation where Jesus healed the guy at the Pool of Bethesda. He went in and healed the one man, but he didn't heal anybody else. And that guy wasn't, other than looking for healing with the angel stirring the water, he didn't even know who Jesus was or anything. Jesus went in and healed him. Sometime God, we don't know why, initiates certain things. Here in this instance, this initiation thing started off really a revival. a move of God in the place by doing that. So God's wisdom knows that, but you can't expect to get healed in that manner that God's going to use you. I had a good friend, and he used to think, and I used to try to talk to him about it. He thought, you know, he's in a wheelchair, and he thought because he was well known in the community that he was going to get healed and walk so everybody else would just see how the glory of God was. But that isn't what God had for him. He expected that, you know, there's just something big supernatural is going to happen, and God wanted him to use his faith, and he never used his faith in line with what God wanted. Never did. Tried to talk to him about it. No, he had his idea, and his idea kept him from getting healed. See, don't get your ideas. Follow the Word. Follow faith in the Word. Don't fight. Well, if God would just do this way or do that way. You know, I've seen like a church back when the gospel businessmen were having their meetings, doing things. They would have speakers in, and anyhow, one of the things that their failure was, and many people's failures, you know, that you would get like some of these Hollywood people would get saved. You get a Hollywood person saved, and oh man, boy, you'd want to have them as a speaker. They'd want to get those guys in because, you know, they get that, everybody knows them. It's really going to work. Well, that became one of the biggest failures. You know, you don't ever stick. I don't care how popular somebody is. You don't stick an immature person out in the front. The Bible says you don't. You don't take a novice and put him in front. The Bible says you don't. And they would do that thinking, oh, because this guy... Well, I'll tell you, most of those people never followed Christ. Over time, they never followed Christ. They liked the popularity of the world, you know, and they would they'd never really give themselves fully to Christ, and they'd end up causing you more problems than good. And so we don't do that. Don't get your ideas of what's going to work for God. Well, if this was this way, it would really be. I'll tell you what, people really go. It'd really be good if we did it this way. Let God figure all that out. Just walk in line with the Word by faith. Listen to what God tells you to do. Then just walk in the light of that. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. Other people will be blessed. It'll work. Peter and John, they're just following the Spirit of God. This guy got healed by a manifestation, really, of the Spirit. That's what happened. They didn't just go around doing that to everybody. It isn't something you're going to turn on and off. I've heard people say this over the years. Boy, yeah, we just got a gift of healing. We just go in the hospitals and clear them out. You ain't clearing nothing out unless God's clearing them out, because you ain't healing nobody. You'd understand that. Jesus Christ is a healer. He works through you. Whenever you think you're Jesus Christ, you done missed it. You ain't going there. You ain't doing that. And people get ideas in their heads about things, but if you follow in line with the Word, you can always bless somebody. You can always bless someone. And so set yourself just to do that, just to follow what the Word says. One of the things you find that God may use sometimes, in Acts the 19th chapter, there's a thing there where we see that God did something. It's a little extraordinary, it says. In Acts the 19th chapter, we're going to find out with the Apostle Paul something that God did. And it says in verse 11 of the 19th chapter, the 19th chapter book of the Act, verse 11 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them." Now we find that here God did something, it was extraordinary. So up to this time, this had not been, I guess generally has been seen in that manner. But yet there is, if you understand how the anointing works, because we find out if people could touch Jesus' clothing, they could be made well. Now why was that? For some reason, and I don't know why, I've listened to Kenneth Hagin and others who in ministry who have been around a whole lot more than I was and who operated in a lot more things. Cloth has the ability to absorb the anointing. Cloth does. Cloth has that ability. You'll find this out. The anointing, in a sense, a cloth can become almost like a storage battery to anointing. It'll work. Now, I don't normally do this, but I've had the Lord direct me already of taking a handkerchief or something like that or a cloth and laying, the Lord told me to do it sometimes with individuals with problems. The first time the Lord told me to do it, there was a woman that talked to me about the fact she had her son, and she was telling me she wanted me to pray for her son, who he was a young married guy, but anyhow, he was having a lot of problems. He couldn't sleep at night, being woken up, fear would try to grip him, and he's having all kind of problems. So she said about praying for him, and the Lord spoke to me and said, get a cloth. He said, you lay your hands on it and tell her to take it home and stick it in his pillow. So I took a cloth and I laid my hands on it and prayed over that cloth. She took it home, put it in his pillow, and after about a week, he never had any trouble anymore after that. So that anointing, she said, the Lord told me, he said, don't tell him about what you're doing. You take it, stick it in the pillowcase. Just stick it in the pillowcase. Well, I had with an our church with Betty Weaver. Betty Weaver came to me, and she was talking to me about her husband when he had gotten cancer. And she asked me about what to do with her, and the Lord said, anoint a cloth. And so I told. Then again, he told me, tell Betty to put it in his pillow and don't tell him. Well, Betty had told me about his cancer was very serious, and the doctors were not looking at this thing and being very good at all. And he completely recovered. I said, just do that. Now, I don't just do that because people... Now, if somebody came and asked me to do it, I would do it for them. But, I mean, I just don't go around just doing it. But being led, every time I was led by the Spirit to ever do that, it has always worked. I've never at any time... Like, people always come on and say, oh, see, God told me to do this, and they go do it and don't work. I have never had God tell me to do something and it didn't work. If it don't work, I'm going to quit doing it. No, God ain't going to tell me to do something that's not going to work. And those things have always worked, you know. And when I've always just, I get a sense to do something like that, I'll just obey that and do it. And I've done it numbers of times over the years, but I don't do it all the time. Or, you know, I just felt sense to do that in a situation. And I've done it, and it's worked for people. I've had that already and that stuff. People having problems, people sometimes with problems at night, sometimes sleeping and things like that. I've ever laid hands on it, something to put in your pillowcase and over time, then things work out. So praise God, whatever. You know, so people say, well, what happens? Well, just the anointing in that's is affecting the person. You know, I don't know what it is. It ain't me. I'm sorry. But, you know, is doing those kinds of things. So Paul did that there. That was an extraordinary thing. But that's not the normal way. Now, I could sit and tell you of other ministries and stuff that they've done, of put anointing cloths and stuff, give them to people. Some of the most miraculous things have taken place. I mean, absolute miracles have... I mean, I'm not talking about healings. I'm talking about miracles taking place with that kind of thing happening already. And so that is a way that God ministers. Lots of times, they, like Kenneth Hagin ministry, especially if Brother Hagin or his son was operating and the healing anointing was on them, if people asked to have cloths laid on, they'd lay hands on it at that time when the anointing's on them. And they would have wonderful things and stuff that would happen to people and that stuff through that. Because sometimes if people couldn't be at meetings, or people are sometimes too sick, can't get there, or in the hospital, and they would take cloths and take to people, and people would be healed and released from the hospital really quick on things, and stuff would happen. All kinds of stuff would go on like that with it, by doing those things. But you want to be led by the Spirit. It's just like that. It isn't the norm that you do. Because you'll get people who just don't want to go to church, but they want you to send a cloth to them and that stuff. And I'll stay sick, have a good time. You know. You know, that's not what it's for. And but God's, you know, God really works to bless people. He does. He's just really working to bless people and do things. Hallelujah. You know, I even heard of incidences already where certain people, like Smith Wigglesworth and stuff, where somebody, his coat was laying or something somewhere, and somebody touched his coat. It was just laying there. It got healed. It's amazing. You know, see, you get some of these things happen, you know, you just don't, you know, whatever. Now, we looked at, before, the guy who is dealing in the areas of the spoken word. We looked at the centurion. In Luke 7, 1 through 10, we had read this before, which is really is another way is to be healed. I talked about the fact of being healed by the spoken word. And you know, I've had a ready in it sometimes. Sometimes I've had a ready in ministering to people. Normally, God will have me just lay hands on people. Now, one of the things that I find is this with myself. I don't always very seldom ask people about what their problem is. Is one of the reasons I don't ask them the problem, because unless God tells me to, because it limits the move of the Spirit. See, you need to be careful when you go and telling everybody your problem, because God will move for you, and you won't believe it. You won't believe it so. See, it's number one, when you tell everybody what your problem is, you limit gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Lots of times God will give me a word of knowledge about things when I'm praying. I have done this already in ministering to people, and what I was praying over them, they told me later, you said such and such, you know, you couldn't have known that. See, God was ministering. I didn't know it when I was doing, but it ministered to them. They knew then that God was speaking to them. That encouraged their faith. By telling somebody, well, then if God speaks about it, well, you know, you just told them. And the devil will come right to you and say, yeah, they were just saying what they already knew. Yeah, you told them. You know, everybody, Cousin Harry knew all about it, and everybody else, and you've told 47 people in the church, so they are. Everybody knows. You need to be very careful about that, because many times I find I don't say a thing about stuff, especially like I'm going down to Randy's meetings. If there's something specifically that I would want or want to know from God, I don't say anything to them. Go pray about this or pray about. I don't say a thing. And you know how many times God talks and answers my question. And I know they didn't hear. They didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know. And so God was verifying for me. I believe today in the church world, we don't have as much of that as we could, because people have the tendency to want to tell everything. You need to be careful, especially the people you want to minister to you, is not to tell them so much. Don't say so much. You know, if they ask you, that's one thing. You know, they ask, sometimes God will have people ask people about that. But, you know, don't come with the idea that it's number one, I don't need to know all your troubles. It's number one, I can't deliver you anyhow, so good luck. But God can. And, you know, you could turn around and hurt yourself in the face. You know, you go tell too much of a serious story. My word, you might get them in unbelief, the guy that's going to minister to you. Say, oh my God, we got to believe for this. So keep yourself over, you know, allow God to move. It's like we have here in the centurion. I'm not going to read all down through the centurion story, but the centurion in Luke the 7th chapter in verses 1 through 10, the centurion had people come to Jesus for him. And the whole fact of it is he told Jesus, you don't have to come. All you have to do is say the word and my servant will be well. And you need to get a hold of this, because as we were talking before in the beginning, the word of God's enough. Is learning to have faith in the word is a hugely powerful. You know, the word is anointed. See, people are looking for anointing. The word of God is anointed. And you can believe the word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. How could you believe the word and... if Jesus is the Word, you believe the Word, you can be healed. And he told him, you just say the Word, my servant's going to be made well. Now, that guy was not born again. He was a Jewish proselyte. So, in other words, he's not born again, and he could believe in that manner. Surely we can. Hallelujah. We can believe the Word and be healed. And so, understand that with people as you teach them the Word. Kenneth Hagin used to use an example of a guy who had really a healing ministry, but yet he wasn't in the ministry. But he was a guy that would just go to sick people's houses, and he would go, like somebody was sick, he would target a person. He would go every day to their home and read them the word and go over the word with them every day. And he would go do this, go back in over the word and till the person was healed. And Kenneth Hagin said, it was amazing how many people that guy got healed. Now most people, you could not get them to every day to listen to the word. They wouldn't want to do that. But, is the power of the word itself, is getting continually taking the word and ministering to somebody. So that's something that we can do. And especially dealing in the areas of word. Jesus said this, and Jesus in Mark 11, 23 said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what he says." Now, I read through that quickly, and I know that verse, but I want to tell you, most of us don't know that verse. Oh, we know it to a sense. Do you realize what he said? This wasn't, you know, one thing that really, it really bugs me. And I mean, major, major faith people say stuff, well, he's not talking about a real mountain here. Yes, he was. They were standing on the Mount of Olives when he said to them, "If you say to this mountain..." He just spoke to a tree. And he said the disciples thought the tree was a big deal. He said, "Hey, you guys can do this. You can do this." So in other words, what you say, the power of the spoken word, the power of the words that you speak, the power. Now you need to understand this. This don't mean you just go around talking just anything you want. We know from Jesus' temptation, the devil quoted a scripture to him was true that was said, you know, that if he tripped, you know, God would keep him from falling and hurting himself. So the devil wanted him to do a little performance. You know, don't let anybody ever get you into the performance things. It's one of them. Don't let the devil tempt you. You don't have to prove anything at all. But when you need a miracle, you can have one. If you need a miracle. This isn't something so, "Well, I'm going to believe God for $50 billion. I'm going to have $50 billion. I'm going to do it." Well, good luck. You can't get 20. You ain't getting $50 billion anyhow. Dear Lord, you know, going through that nonsense. People go through those things. Number one, you cannot go further than you can actually believe and not doubt in your heart. You need to understand, this here, you're limited to what you can believe. You're limited to what you believe and you say. If we need to understand that Jesus Christ himself said this. Now, you have to have a revelation of this because Mark 11, 24 is based on it, on that revelation. Mark 11, 24 is what Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you," or because of this principle, that you can, what you speak and say have come to pass. Because of this principle, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. If that's the principle. See, if you don't get that word stuff over there, this is why Mark 11, 24 don't work for people. That's why it don't work. Because they don't fulfill 23. They got doubts, they got... They never get to the place where they believe, you know what, when I pray and I say these words to God, it's a working. Amen. I'm going to receive my healing. Hallelujah. Amen. These words are going to work. And this is what I want to encourage you in this, is why we take these things to people, as we're going to go look at things and other things because we want to help people get well. We want to be able to minister to people. And being able to do it, these are important things that people need to know. These things are very foreign because churches don't teach these things to people. They're not teaching this stuff. And yet, it's not hard to do. It's not hard, you know. It's like anything, you're going to have to develop in it. There's no thing. You don't start at the top of nothing. Nobody's going to come in to start doing this thing. You know, it's like I said, my faith started when Juan and I started Faith for Finances. We started, first thing we ever believed, $20. You know, $20. Well, I'm going to tell you what, to me it might as well have been, you know, $20,000 because I, you know, $20 were huge. It's like, because I had never, God just, you know, where we didn't do something and God brought money. You know, we always had to do something. You know, that's what we were used to in life, you know. And we needed money. So we decided $20 to us, that was big. And I'll tell you what. Now, that's one thing, is that really got a hold of Wanda when that happened. Because her whole thing changed about faith from that thing. It changed. I mean, Wanda never had trouble about that fact about believing money after that. Boy, it just, she just got, wow, man, this thing worked. And she, and that's, it's always been good because if I wanted to believe for something, boy, she could always get it, she could get in it, or she wanted something, she could say, let's do this or let's do that, her faith. But that really, really helped her. And see, this is why as people, you need to come to a place where you have believed God and you didn't do anything. And let God provide it. See, I learned that over the years. I still do it to this day. If there's things that I desire, I don't go buy it just because I can afford it. Do you ever think about trying to believe God for something? See, people never do that. And so their faith never grows in their life. It never grows because they always operate within the limits of what they have, of what they can do. Believe God for something that's outside your limits. Something beyond you. Or, you know, believe for something even that you can do, but you're not going to do it. You're going to let God provide that for you. And God's going to come and bring it to you. See, you want to come to those things where you can do that. You want to come to that place. It's just like with one. When God worked in that thing and got us that $20, you know, He did a supernatural thing. Wanda's walking down a street and nobody's around and a $20 bill blew up to her feet. It's like with her after that. God can bring you money. God can do it. Now, a lot of times God brings, like through people or somebody does something or does it. But believe God, we learned to do that things. I did things like with TVs and stuff and things like that. Believe God. God's going to provide one. And just believe God and did do nothing about it till it came. Didn't do anything about it. See, most of us, we don't, well, we got to have it now. We never learn. Once you start seeing where God specifically works, where you know it was Him, it wasn't somebody else. I know the first time I got divinely healed, changed my life. I didn't got healed without any kind of aid of anything else and anything. Got healed. Man, that changed my life. It's all I said, wow, hold it. This stuff's real. See, most people, it's never been real. They've always done things. It never becomes as real to a person who has just stood. It becomes really real. You've got to step into the outside. That's why with believing, when you believe, you've got to believe outside of what is natural. If you can only believe within the limits of what the doctor said, why bother use faith? Anybody can get that. The non-believer will get that too. See, you want to have your faith beyond of where that's at. You know, it's like Wanda really learned with that thing. There's like, Wanda was really good. It's like, she went like to the hospital or something for something. She had her foot operated on. She's not going to have pain. She had to take pain medication. She never has to take pain medication. She does something. She never has to take pain medication. She never has pain. She can believe outside. She has learned to do that. And, you know. The doctors have a hard time with that kind of thing. You have to have your faith outside of what the doctor can do, because if you don't, you'll never have proof in your life that God helped you. If you only got what the sinner got, anybody else gets in the hospital, you don't have a place where you get, boy, our God's miraculous, isn't He? Isn't He great? Every sinner in the place got out the same time I did. Have something more. Have something more. Hallelujah. Amen. It's, we had so many, just like with Wanda, even having the heart operation, she had so many miraculous things for, and I mean, and then even the doctors are saying that. I mean, even people, those nurses that came in and all this stuff and had nothing to do, they couldn't figure out what to do because she was healthy. You're supposed to be dealing with a sick person, and they don't have one. They don't know what to do. But but it's a whole thing of it is, you need that within yourself to know, to build your faith that God is doing something. You know, don't try to step outside your faith, but you're going to have to take a hold of something. You're going to take a bite of something out there that's outside of where you're at. You've got to do that. For your faith to grow, it's going to have to happen. Your faith isn't going to grow just reading the Bible. It's going to be acting on it. You get faith from reading, studying the Bible, hearing, preaching, but acting on the Word, acting like it's true. And losing the fear, You know, people, well, if I do this, what if it hurts me? Well, you're already finished. You're done. You already have that fear in yourself that I have to do what everybody else does because, you know, it may not work. That's why it would be very hard for a doctor to live with me. It would be terribly hard. It'd be terrible hard for people who have a lot of medical mind would have a terrible time when I get believing something because I don't operate within the bounds of what they say, and they would have a horrible time with that. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, don't do this. Huh? If you have someone in your house like that, throw them out immediately. Because, man, that's hard living. Somebody's always afraid. No, don't do that. Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's why I always was thankful for Wanda. She never did that to me. She never did. She let him, just let him go. if he falls off the house roof, we'll just get him inside and pray for him. Well, you know, you gotta have that. But you don't want it. You gotta be very careful about, don't be a person who discourages other people's faith because of your lack of faith. People do that all the time. Their lack of faith and somebody else's step. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. Don't do that to people. Don't do that to them because of your lack of faith. You know, I've learned this. Somebody says they heard from God, God told them to do something. Ain't none of my business to go, let them, if God told them, that's between them and God. It ain't between me and whoever else. You know? They said to do something I knew was sin, wasn't right. I know we know that. But if God told a person to do something, that stuff ain't none of your business because you can't believe it. You need to be very careful in those areas of dealing with people because you can destroy people's faith. And you don't want to do that. We want to encourage people. You say, well, what if they miss it? Come on, join the club. I would rather miss it doing something that people are always trying to stop you. Their faith never grows. Their faith never grows. My words, if I look at the times that I stepped out and things that I'd have better not, I would have been better if I hadn't. I'm going to tell you, they were all part of I learned to grow. You know, it's one thing is I learned to grow with my mistakes. I learned some things not to do. That's right, you learned some things not to do. But you can use it to your advantage. And do that. So don't ever look at, I might make a mistake. Well, you will. Join the club. The fear of making mistakes will keep you from developing in faith. It'll keep you. Don't be afraid. God ain't nervous. He's not nervous. God knows we'll make mistakes, and you know what? He's good at picking you up. I tell you, I've been picked up a bunch. And so He knows how to pick us up, get us back on our feet and on the road. I tell you, if you're moving in any ways to develop in your faith, God's excited. He's excited. God's excited. You know, it's just like we look at a little child. You know the child's going to fall when he try to walk. I mean, it's absolutely stupid to try to keep a child from falling. Well, they're going to fall. And you know what? You got to just let it happen. You let it happen. You just got to learn to let it. That's what it is. And you learn to do it. You can't protect. You know, did you ever notice you can't protect them from everything? Oh, my words. Oh, we live in a society that's trying to protect everybody from everything and anything out of the world. And people are just worn out, frazzled to no end, trying to take care of everything. And it ain't going to happen. I learned just trust God. Hallelujah. It makes life a lot easier. Hallelujah. Doing it that way. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Lord, again, your word is absolutely wonderful. Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, that your word is working in us, and it's working mightily in us. Hallelujah. Father, we're growing in faith from day to day. Father God, faith comes by hearing, but Lord God, our biggest desire is to do the word. Hallelujah, because the doer is blessed. And Lord God, we're just sort of hooked on that blessing side. Hallelujah. We want blessing. And so we thank you, Father God, that we're going to act on the word. And Lord God, your word will always perform what you said it would do. Father God, we never have to be afraid or worry or fear because you'll always take care of us. You're a wonderful and good Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.